We're just going to pick it up from where we left off. But before I speak, I'd like to have our young preacher, warrior, to have the first 5-10 minutes. Let's welcome Ashlyn. This is what she shared in the youth meet yesterday. And I thought it is very timely and that it will be good that as a church, we hear what they have discussed in the youth.
Okay, thank you. Thanks, Mom, for the platform to speak. So a couple weeks ago, Penny asked me to share in the youth. And obviously, like me, I would forget until the last minute. And I didn't have time to prepare anything. But on Friday night, I was just asking God, you know, like, what should I share? What do the youth need to hear in this season? And Friday night, we were at Pastor Subi's conference. So we were there as a boiler room team. And we came back. I was really tired. So in the end, I was like, okay, it's okay. I'll just wake up tomorrow. I'll do it tomorrow. It's fine. I'm not worried. I know that he'll show up. He always shows up. And so when I woke up, I prayed and I was just going through my thoughts. And the week before that, JC was sharing in our group, 2 weeks before that. He was sharing and he shared on building dreams, having big dreams. You need to have big dreams, you know, cast visions, things like that. So everyone wrote down their dreams and what we're doing and stuff. And I thought, hey, you know, that maybe that's something I want to continue on with. And the night before, we were talking about... We were in the prayer conference, so Mom was sharing, Pastor Selena was sharing with the boiler room team and a few of the youth leaders that were also there, and she was talking about how the work in Logan, you know, it's tying in with the boiler room ministry, she's sharing her heart and things like that, and how we really have to rise up. It's a time where we really have to rise up. And we cannot be, no longer can we just sit down like, oh, we're worshiping quietly. But we need to stand out. We are warriors. And I believe that this church, that's what this church is called to be. And so as I was sitting down, and then God gave me Joshua 1 again. And I'm like, hey, you know, it's we know this verse, this passage inside out. Well, we think we do. And we've read it over and over and over again. And I'm like, God, you want me to talk about this? I mean, sure, it's very easy, but I don't want people to think I don't want Penny to think I chose this just because it was an easy thing to talk about. But I really felt that it was something that the youth needed to hear again, in line with, you know, building, having big dreams and the youth being part of a warrior church. And so I'm like, okay, God, thanks for this. And I continue praying. Didn't have a lot of time before youth, but he gave me 3 words, so I'm just going to share that today. Before we go into that, I'm just going to read Joshua chapter 1. So if you can turn with me in Joshua chapter 1, that'd be great. Father, we thank you for your word, because your word is true and your word is real. And we ask that even today, as we gather before you, that your word will come alive before us. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. And so when I was praying, he gave me 3 words, but in our discussion, which I will share some of that with you today as well, we had one more word that came up in the midst of our discussion, which Andrew brought up, and so I'm going to put that in. That's going to be the first point. And the first thing is, I feel that there needs to be a new urgency. The first point is urgent. We need to be urgent. And I feel that... We were sharing, we said, you know, a while ago, we had this, if you want to call it prayer movement, called Rousing the Warriors. There was a team of youth that were praying 24/7 or continuously for different things in the church. And so we had a group and we called ourselves Rousing the Warriors. And I looked around and I realized that at that group, not even everybody was part of that Rousing the Warriors group. You know, we've come quite a bit away from that. I'm like, hey, what happened to Rousing the Warriors, you know? Why have we gone up and then come down again? So the first thing is, we need to be really urgent. There's got to be a new stirring, which is why I say, you know, hey, I think we need to listen to Joshua 1 again. And the second thing is diligent. We need to be diligent. And I looked through the the passage and we were talking among each other. We said, hey, what is it that we need to be diligent in our lives? So we have, I need to be diligent with my devotions. I need to be more prayerful and things like that. And I look in the text and we're looking at it and say, hey, you know, there is a call to be diligent. It says, meditate on my word day and night. And then it says, gather your supplies, get ready, let's go. And we said, being diligent is something that people often they don't see. Being diligent is being really active and proactive behind the scenes. Like, sure, you're an army, you're getting ready to go, but what people see is when you're already fighting. But we said that one of the things that needs to come first is you need to be really diligent in getting everything ready behind the scenes. Your mind has to be focused, your heart has to be ready. And so that's point two. And I move on and says the third thing that we need to really get right this season is we need to be militant people. And one of the things that Pastor Selena was sharing with us the night before while we were at Pastor Subi's conference is that she believes that we are ready, this group of people. We're ready to go far. We're ready to be soldiers, but we've got to have that courage to take that first step. And one of the things that we shared within our small group, we said, what is one of the struggles we face to be militant? And so obviously, you know, some people say before we can be militant, we need to be diligent. If you're not diligent, you cannot be militant. And some of the people, they say, what's really hard is taking that first step of courage. And then we ask ourselves, you know, why do we fight? Why do we need to be militant? Why is that call there? And one of them, they share something that I really, really like. And it's found in verse 12. But to the Reubenites and the Gadites and the half-tribe Manasseh, Joshua said, remember the command that Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you. The Lord your God is giving you rest and has granted you this land. Your wives, your children, and your livestock may stay in the land that Moses gave you east of Jordan, but all your fighting men fully armed must cross over ahead of your brothers. You are to help your brothers until the Lord gives them rest as he has done for you, and until they too have taken possession of the land that the Lord your God is giving them. After that, you may go back and occupy your land, which Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you east of Jordan towards the sunrise. And sure, yes, we need to be militant because that's what we're called to do. We have to be fighting. We all fight for a cause. But why? Why do we do that? And one of the reasons I really liked of what this brother said is that we need to be fighting. We need to be like the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh. God has granted us rest. And in our last season, that was what it was for us, the season of rest, you know. And he says that it really spoke to him in Joshua 1 is that we need to be fighting for our brothers. We need to be fighting for our brothers so they might find rest, so they might find love, so they might find peace. And that is why Pastor Ed and Pastor Selena are going into Logan. That's why we're going to different places. I mean, this is why we want to be unashamed of the gospel, because we are fighting for our brothers. We are fighting for each other so that we may find rest, so that we may find God in our rest. The last thing that we talked about is we need to be resilient. And it's not enough just to be militant. It's not enough just to take the first step, but we've got to be a people that's going to stand and say, hey, you know, I'm not going to back down. I'm going to go all the way. Krista asked what is resilient, and when we were talking and we were trying to explain to her and stuff like that. And I can't remember who is it, but someone said resilient means you will go all the way and nothing's going to make you back down. And then we asked again, we talked about it. What is the one thing that is really hard? What is the one thing you struggle with being resilient? And I find that for me, at least in the new season, one thing that's going to be really hard is that, you know, we always say, hey, when we fight, we're going to look left and right. We're going to have people next to us. We're going to be unafraid. We're going to go all the way. We have brothers and sisters fighting next to us. But I feel like in this next season, one thing that I'm going to struggle with is that perhaps being resilient means that when you look left, right, when you look forward, back, you don't see the people that you're used to working with. And with my parents moving in and out of Logan, we need to be supportive of that also. You know, while our pastors are going out, or we'll be sending people out, or whatever it is. And not necessarily we get to work in our comfort zone, we get to fight in our comfort zone all the time. And I ask myself this question, I ask the youth this question as well. Are we going to be resilient? Are we going to go all the way, even when we look left and right, and we realize that we're not working with the same people that we're used to? And it's not necessarily that, hey, you know, I'm in Bethlehem and like somebody's dead. But we're talking about moving out into different cities and bringing his word into different cities. It's not possible that we're going to be able to move in the herd anymore. And we're going to be like, I think it was Nat that said, hey, you know, how cool is it if we look at our leadership now, our youth now, and, you know, somebody's in Thailand, and somebody's in Myanmar, somebody's in Logan, and we're all, you know, building churches, but we're not together anymore. Of course, we're all doing it under Gateway City Church, but we don't get to, you know, look next to you and say, hey, you know, this is my co-leader, we've been working together since forever. But we ask ourselves this question, you know, are we going to be going all the way? Are we going to be militant? Are we going to be resilient to go all the way, even when we look next to us? And I'm going to say mom. Mom's not next to me, you know. Pastor Selena for you guys, but to me, she's mom. And so when I'm working, I know that I can't always be, hey, you know, mom's here, dad's here, Nat is here. And am I still going to go all the way when it's just me? Am I still going to be militant all the way when it's just me? And so I hope that just really quickly with these four words, that if you forget everything I say, remember these four words. And I think we had a very good time yesterday in youth. We sang, we worshiped, we prayed, we interceded for each other and the church. And it was a very fulfilling time. And my prayer is that today you will not forget, you will not have forgotten the mandate that this church holds by the Joshua Spirit, that we will be urgent people, that we will be diligent, that we will be militant, and that we will be resilient. Let me pray. Father, we thank you for this time. I ask that you would anoint this place and anoint Pastor Selena even as she comes and speaks and continues. Let our hearts be very receptive to what you are going to say. Let us hang on very closely to what you have placed before us. Let us be a people that is unafraid of the gospel, unashamed of what you are doing in the midst of us. Let us be so excited over what you are stirring up. We want to believe that there will be a greater stirring, a greater awakening in our midst. We want to be urgent, we want to be diligent, we want to be militant, and we want to be resilient. Father, we ask that you would give us strength, that you would teach us how to be very trained, very focused on you, even in a time where things are moving so fast. I thank you that you have given me this opportunity to be up here, and I want to say that I want nothing but have the glory of God flow through me. And I thank you for this time. I ask that you would be with Pastor Selena even as she speaks. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You might as well take over the whole session. Who caught what she said? Who feel that you are urgent in this season? You're urgent. Nobody. I'm in big trouble. Thank you. I have one. Thank you, Kai Shen. Who feels urgent in this season? Now, if we are not urgent, I'm very serious here. If we are not urgent, we better be seeking the Lord. If we are not urgent, means we are sleeping in our spirit. And if we are sleeping in our spirit, we better wake up. I say, we better wake up. Come on, church, be awakened. So if you're not urgent, let me urge you, do something. Do something to awaken yourself up. It is not time to sleep. It is not time to sleep. You look all over the world, globally, something is happening all the time. It is a quickening of the coming of the Prince of Peace. Are we ready? Are we ready? We may be ready to go home, but there's a whole flock of people in the nation and the nations who are not ready because they have not heard the gospel. And so as a church, we need to be urgent. As an individual, we need to be urgent. Who thinks that you're diligent? Because we're a small church, right? It's very easy. I want your hands up. Who thinks? Don't be ashamed. If you think you're diligent, you're diligent. Say lo. Oh, my husband. No one in the church is diligent. Except. Thirdly, militant. Who thinks that you are a warrior? Okay, at least some. After 7 years of plowing and toiling in the church, I have some warriors. Now, when we talk about urgent, we're talking about life and death. When we talk about urgent, we talk about being critical. That means we're facing critical situation. When we talk about urgent, we talk about compelling. We're talking about compelling love. We're talking about we've been compelled to go out and reach out because time is running out. And I learned urgency when the Lord placed me in the intensive care unit because every day I am losing patience. And someday we will be losing all our patience in one shift. And that caused an urgency in me to preach the gospel, whether they are hearing me or not hearing me, whether they are conscious or subconscious or not conscious, I will still be sharing the gospel because there was an urgency. If I don't share, no one else would share because I was the only Christian nurse in the entire ICU. So all the responsibility rests upon my shoulder. And God is a good and faithful God. There's always, always a very significant position that you put you in, that lock you in that season for a reason. So even though you hate your job at this point, you got to ask God, why am I here, God? Because when you know why you are in that position, you will be joyful. Someone asked me in Australia, tell me seriously, in your ministry, are you joyful? I mean, are you happy? I said, the word is not happy. When I can't pay my bills, I'm not happy. Will you be happy? When I'm sick, running a fever, pain here, pain there, am I happy? No, I'm not happy. But I'm joyful. I can still be joyful even though I'm not happy. Are you with me? Because the joy of the Lord is with me. The peace of God is with me. And though I'm unhappy about my situation, but I have the joy of the Lord. And that makes a difference. So I may not be happy with my job or my situation right now, but the joy of the Lord is my strength to carry on because I know that I'm fulfilling my role, my function in this season, in this particular situation, job, or whatever that you call it, studies. I know that my kids are really facing a situation right now in a seminary. You know, a lot of people think, you know, it's all those dumb people who fail in school, cannot go to university. Then they end up in full-time ministry. Then they go to seminary. Now, wait. You know, if you have that kind of thought, I'm so sorry. You are so wrong. Because seminary studies, it is really, really very, very tedious. It requires a lot of diligence. It requires a lot of sweat. It requires and demands everything of you. And so you got to ask yourself, why am I here in this particular situation? And so I did not enjoy my posting in ICU as much as my posting in the A&E department and in the wards. But ICU was a great training ground for me to rise up in urgency to reach out. And I saw what God did with me in the 2 years of posting in ICU because there was such urgency that I would have never felt or known if God did not put me there. So if you're not urgent, maybe you should pray, God, put me in a situation where I'll be urgent. Now, that's a very bold prayer. Diligent means you got to be hardworking, you got to be industrious, you've been very thorough, very careful with your work, and sometimes it's very painstaking. So when we talk about being militant, when Ashley talk about militant, it is being confrontational. And I think that not I think, but I'm sure that in the last 7 years that we have come through, we as a church, we should, we need, we ought to be ready to be confrontational in the spirit. I'm not asking you to start bashing each other up after church. I'm asking you to bash the enemy up. Are you with me? Hello, hello, people. Are you with me? It's so cool, you know. In Australia, different churches we go to, they have different style. They're just so different in every church, you know. It's like, oh, okay. So Pastor Subi say, Christianity is like a buffet, you know. You don't want to eat. There's beef, there's lamb, there's mutton, there's vegetables, you know. And if you don't want all this meat, you eat your vegetables. But if you want to eat all, eat everything, right? So when I went to Australia, some churches are so prophetic. You know, there is no time. You can walk in anytime you want. You can walk out anytime you want. And the pulpit is open for anybody to come up to release a word. I'm like, wow, so scary. Anybody, and I'm serious, anybody can go up and release a word. And it's a big church. It's not a small church. It's a big church. And while the pastor is preaching, people are walking around, hanging around, free coffee behind. So they are sipping coffee and talking behind while the preaching is going on. Well, I couldn't sit still, you know, the entire time behind. I'm like, what, man? What kind of church is this? There is no reverence, you know. Okay, I just cannot take that. You know, maybe that works for some people, but I think there must be reverence and honor for the word of God. The coffee time behind, putting down mattress and sleeping there. Like, okay. Wow, this is really eye-opening. And there are some church, there is no worship. Some weeks they have worship. Some weeks they don't have worship. And then the pastor say, come, talk to me, talk to me, talk to me. So it's a discussion throughout the service. And then end as and when you like. And then we were a bit blow for a while because then they had Lord's Supper all prepared. And then he finished already, says, who wants to come? Who wants to have Lord's Supper? Have communion? You can go ahead and do it. And all of us stood there, or rather, the new people like us. And then we look at each other and say, how are we supposed to do this? Like, we're not so sure. How are we supposed to do this? And then we talked to, and then so everybody just walked down, take some, hang around, go anywhere you like, talk. And then, so it's like just so different. But I'm not saying, so maybe that I'm just not comfortable with that, but maybe that works for them. But so if you're in the church, then you have to follow certain guidelines that we believe should be in order to honor God. Are you with me? Right? So there should be flexibility and freedom in our worship, but that freedom and flexibility should be within the compound and the boundaries of certain guidelines that's biblical. And so, militant is being confrontational in our spirit against the enemy that come against us, against our family, against our church, against our city, against our nation, against the entire human race that belongs to our God. That's being aggressive because the Bible says that the violent shall take it by force. The violent shall take it by force. For what? For a cause. Don't go and be violent for no reason. Then people say you are cuckoo up here. We need to be confrontational in our spirit. There are times that we have been defensive. And I feel that the last season, the last 7 years, we have been defensive. We have been defending. But it is time that the church launch out to be confrontational. If we want to conquer division by division as described in the book of Joshua, we have to be confrontational. How are you going to conquer when you are always defending? In order to conquer, you have to move forward. You have to be moving forward. You cannot defend. Like floorball, right? Certain games, you know that you cannot conquer your opponent. You're always defending your fortress, you're always defending cat. You know, cat is like a princess. You're always defending her because you have no chance to charge and conquer the other side. But some games, you know that you need to shoot. Every opportunity, you must conquer. So you're always advancing. You're always advancing. So there are times you defend, there are times you conquer. This is the time, this is the season that our church must rise up. The church of God must rise up. I'm not talking about just GCC. I'm talking of every church that belongs to Jesus Christ. But because the influence and the mandate given to us to pastor this church, GCC, I'm urging you, every single one of you, every single one, from the youngest to the oldest, you have every part to play in your confrontational game. Are you with me, people? Are you with me? If you're sleeping, can you pinch? I give you permission to pinch your neighbor if they're sleeping. Because it is time. The last season, many people came up to me and said, Pastor, our prayers should be militant. I say, I know. But my people are not ready. I cannot go to war alone. Have you seen an army where the general go alone to war? An army means a group, a huge, massive group of warriors, right? And every warrior, and so we love this analogy of the ancient army, right? Because everybody is marching forward facing the enemy, but everybody has a role. Every line has a different role. And some people, their role is just to beat the gong, right? And play the harp and play the music. We talked about that just some time ago. And that's our worship team. And don't think you're just there singing worship, you know, you can afford to sleep. No. You have to be sharp. You have to be focused because every beat, you are doing spiritual warfare. Every beat counts. Don't underestimate your clap, your stamp, your dance. And so I want to encourage you that the dance workshop that Jen is doing on the 24th of October, 24th, is it? I would like to encourage the entire church to come. Now, I cannot make it. But, especially so, if you are in the worship team, can I encourage you to come? Because you cannot sing and worship and play just with your mouth or your voice. Your entire body is a musical instrument, a worship tool unto the Lord. Worship team, can you look at me? Do you understand? Don't give me excuse. I'm just a singer. Don't make me move. Then you're out of the worship team. If I'm the worship pastor, you don't move, you're out. Okay, now they don't want me as a worship pastor. I did not say you must dance. I say you must move. Because we cannot sing just by staying still. The song has to flow throughout our body because God made our entire body. And when you sing with your whole body, your face, your expression, it speaks of the spirit that you carry. And that's why to the singers, I want to tell you that when you sing, you got to be really knowing what you're singing. You got to feel the song. And some of you are not feeling the song. You're not entertaining us. But when I say feel the song is, if the song is a rejoicing song, you don't stand there, right? You don't stand there, right? If someone throw 10,000 ringgit on your face right now, you stand there? I don't know why I'm keep looking at JC. You don't. When the song speaks about pain, suffering, you must have some kind of emotion that runs through you, don't you? When the song is a love song unto God, come on, you don't go to your partner and say, I love you. There must be some, okay, special case, Pastor Ed. But he's learning. He's learning to be more expressive in his I love you. So So there must be expression flowing through our whole body if we are worship team. And so that workshop will encourage you to move. You just need to explore your body because your body is a weapon. Your body is a weapon. And a lot of my worship time with the Lord, when I move into warfare, I don't even have words, but I move with my movement because the Holy Spirit come and guide my movement. And suddenly when I am warring, I'm in a warring movement. And so that is how I understand my body. So when you come for the workshop, she's not teaching you choreography. She's not teaching you how to make a dance. She's asking you to explore the body that God gives you so that you understand this body, how the body move and how the Spirit of God move through your body. So a simple movement like that may mean something. Correct? Right? If I do like this, it means something, right? So when you want to slap a person, you don't go like that, right? When we talk about being resilient, so worship team, please sign up for the workshop. You need to learn to move your body. Because when your body is free, then you can sing the song out freely with all that it means. Yes? I'm not sure if Pastor Edward made you do this here, but in our previous worship team, all the singers and the worship, the entire worship team, we come half an hour before, we come actually 1.5 hours before time. We spend an hour praying, and then we spend the other half an hour doing our sound check. And while we're doing our sound check, we'll be jumping, we'll be shouting, we'll be screaming, we'll be exercising our mouth, our expression. And why do we do this? We're warming up. You can't sing when you're not warm up, right? So while we're warming up our voice, we're warming up our body so that we can express our worship to the Lord. And when you stand there, you're ushering people into the presence of God. So if you stand there with a papaya face, people are not being able to enter into the presence of God because you are such a distraction. Are you with me? So even when you are not well, please talk to the worship pastor or director and say, anybody to replace me. But if you can, you stand there and believe God to heal you even as you stand and worship that the joy of the Lord shall flow from your expression. Expect a change in the worship team from today onwards. Amen. Resilient means that you must have the ability to bounce back when you are compressed, when you are pressured, that you have the ability to stretch, boom, and then you can still come back and fight. That is resilient. Tahan, lasa. Aliang, nangkong cha kiet. Tio. You must be able to recoil and then spring back, compress and then spring back. That means that you are able to go through difficulty and then withstand it and then recover very quickly from every difficult situation. That is being resilient. If you want to be enlisted in the army of God, you got to be resilient because we are going for the long haul. That means you cannot just fight halfway and decide in the battlefield that you're going to come out because you will die. Have you seen warrior fighting in the battlefield and then suddenly say, oh my, if you run, you die. You got to fight all the way. And if you die, die with dignity. Right? Don't die in being a coward. So you want to die, you die with dignity. So the 4 points that Ashley shared or the youth discussed yesterday, I feel is very, very crucial for the entire church to grasp it, to embrace it, and really to leave that out. And some of you say, hello, I don't want to be in the army of God. There's no such thing. When you become a Christian, you already enlisted. You're already enlisted. is which role you play, which role I play. Some of us are general. Some of us take instruction. Some of us play the gong. Some of us hold the spear. Some of us get the horses ready. Some of us take the banner. And so it is very crucial. I want to share a prophecy Pastor Subi released yesterday to the Church of Penang. It says that Penang is the umbilical cord to our nation. That means everything, including revival, is going to flow through Penang. Isn't it exciting? Aren't you proud to be Penangite? Why do you want to go away? Hello, Penang, the happening place. Oh, ouch, someone. So, Penang is the umbilical cord of our nation. Now, take this seriously, all right? Drink it in your, through your spirit. And therefore, he prophesied, and we know we have heard, that revival is coming. Yes, revival will only come if the people of God, the Church of Penang, rise up to worship him, because worship opened up the heaven. And when heaven is open, revival happens. And we've heard of so many revival in the cities like Argentina and all over the world, that revival just take place. And so he was sharing from the account of Moses, because Moses spent so much time encountering God face to face, he delivered the entire nation in one day. So if the entire nation could be delivered in one day at that time, I think Penang is not very big for our God, right? It is a very small island. It can be delivered if only people rise up and seek the Lord, worship and pray relentlessly. Prayer means being militant in your prayer. No longer, this is not a militant prayer. There is place for silent prayer. There's place for meditation and solitary. There is place for, I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. Oh, Lord, I love you. I love you so much. There is a place for that. But this is the season to step up and war. And so I told the people who come up to me and say, GCC is a warrior church. Therefore, people must need to be militant in their prayer. I say, I know, but it is not time, because we're nurturing some babies. Because we have a lot of new people coming in the last season. Of course, some have gone, some have stayed. But generally, as you look around now, we don't have babies anymore, do we? Do we? JC came in. He was an infant for a while, right? For a while. But he has grown up. He's a warrior. But some of you have been longer than Jay-Z, like donkey years. You've got to rise up and be a warrior. We cannot be feeding you milk. Come on, we cannot be feeding you milk. You are in charge for your own supply of spiritual food, and you are in charge of your spiritual health, and you are supposed to be warriors. You're supposed to be militant. It is not the work of the pastors and the leaders to be in confrontational prayer, but it is everybody's role. And the spiritual atmosphere and temperature of the church can be measured by looking at the prayer time. And prayer time is as interesting as you want it to be if you are cool and interesting, because God is cool and interesting. It's whether you are. So if the prayer time is boring, it's not because God is boring, because you and I are boring. Because we don't know how to connect with God. But God is waiting for you to connect with Him. And so I urge you that the 3:30 prayer is not for worship team and leaders. It's for everybody. It's only an hour. No, 45 minutes. It's hardly scraping. It's only on the runway. We cannot even launch. But we put a hold to our breakthrough prayer for a while because of all the movement, but we are slowly putting it back once things are more settled. So I want to see every one of you in the coming prayer time of 5 to 12 midnight. Good? If you can't give time to the Lord, you do not expect that God will bless you. Yes, God is gracious. He will. But you can't give time to the Lord that we don't deserve, that God answer our prayer promptly. Right? If you cannot be obedient to your parents, you don't expect your parents to say yes to you when you want. And we can only hear God like that if we have been seeking God all the time. God only dropped like this, and you hear it, and you catch that voice. If only you have recognized His voice. And the voice of God is recognized in the place of prayer. And our victory is won, not going out and bashing people with the Bible and scriptures and say, repent or else you will die and go to hell. They will make you go to hell because they will slap you. But our confrontation happens in the war room. It is in the prayer room. Are you with me? Some of you say, hey, come on, don't judge me. I pray in my own time. Yes, there is a personal time that you must keep with the Lord every day. And there is your intercession time that you do with the Lord, especially if you have an intercessory call. But there is something that happens, the synergy in the spirit that happens when the church comes together and pray. And that's why God put us as a church. Right? You can eat your lunch alone. You can eat your dinner alone. But there is something that happens when you eat together with your family, right? Some of you say, save me some problem. Because every time we sit down, we just fight. Because that's some family. And that's true. But I love family dinners because it's just coming together. It's that togetherness. And it is time that we need to be territorial. And we know that our city is our territory. Who has the right to the city? Us. But yes, legal rights has been transferred to demonic forces. And so if the land belongs to the enemy, they have rights to that. But as children of God, we must remember that everything, the entire world belongs to our God. And therefore, being given the authority, we must reclaim back. But we can only reclaim back when we earn our right. We earn our right by gaining the authority that Jesus gave it to us. And therefore, we need to know our position and our authority as child of God to claim back the city of Penang and beyond. And now we're going to conquer Logan. Logan has 13 divisions. And we're targeting Central Logan with migrants of 217 nations. I'm excited. I hope you are. This is not my project. It's God's project. And God is giving us that partnership with Him for the redemption of Penang, for the redemption of Logan, for the redemption of every city, every kampong, every jungle in the world, as long as there is a human being. Amen. And so coming, if we have not learned to come to the church together to pray, how are we going to go out and pray territorial prayer? Because territorial altar means that the churches of a city or the churches of that area coming together. And so Pastor Subi was saying something powerful about territorial prayer. So he has observed that even though he can call 1,000 people of his church to come and pray, there is power. But he said he has observed that when 50 people represented by different churches in that territory coming to pray, they have even greater power to break and bind the demonic stronghold in the city. Are you with me? And so it's important to have personal prayer. It's important to have church prayer. It's important that we join territorial prayer. It is time to be diligent. We cannot sit back and do nothing and complain and whine and just be interested of how are we going to live? How are we going to survive? My me, my want, my likes, my dislike. Hello, people, grow up. We really, really need to grow up. Come on. Our spirit need to grow up. Don't just feed me. We got to be going out and feeding others and fighting for a cause. Nehemiah say, I'm fighting for my families, my brothers, my sisters. Yesterday, I met someone who hasn't met for 2 years. And then when I came to know that he came to the Lord recently, I was just so, so happy, rejoicing, because it was one of those that I prayed for, but not to say every day, but as and when God gave me that remembrance, I'll pray. And so I was sharing with him, I'm so happy that you found Jesus. And he couldn't stop talking about what God has been doing, the amazing things that God has been doing in his life. He talked for hours. Even though I was so tired to listen, I feel compelled to listen to all those amazing testimonies. And see, when people are touched by the Lord, you don't have to pull them to church. They will want to make time to come into the presence of God. Arise, church. And so that was the introduction from Ashlyn. Now, why I'm sharing this is because it ties in with what we're going to do in the coming season for Penang and for Logan. And one of the dreams that the Lord gave me for Logan was there's two rooms merged, and there's one door in the middle of the room, one room on top here, and one room right below here like this, and Penang, GCC, and then Logan. And I was moving in and out that door all the time, greeting people in GCC and greeting people in Logan. So I know there will be a lot of movement in the coming season for us and for the church, because some of the leaders would have to travel as well. And so we're just trusting God to just keep opening doors. So I want your spirit open for what is the direction that God has given to Logan as well as for Penang, I believe, because Penang is a city that God loves so much. I'm so happy and I'm so excited because Penang is my hometown. A lot of people ask me, where are you from? I say, I'm from Penang. But because I don't look totally Chinese, they will have to ask me a couple of times, but where are you really from? I say, I'm born here, I'm bred here, I school here. Carmelite Street is my school, my alma mater. From 6, I went to St. Xavier's. And so I say, I'm proud Penangai. I'm truly Penangia. You know, some people ask me so many times, so if you're Penanga, be proud. Some people say, why don't you go there? Why don't you go there? Why don't you go there? I say, no, I love Penang, and I'll stay here unless the Lord asks me to go. So a lot of people, when we went to Australia, they're like, so you're migrating to Australia? No, the first thing we meet them, say, hold on, no migration unless the Lord says so. But at this point, God has not asked us to migrate. We are going to come in very often to do the work. We pray that we'll raise up people in Logan itself, but we're not migrating, not migrating. And so, we know, because I've shared many times, Acts chapter 9, verse 6, that says that we enter, God says, enter the city, I'll tell you what to do. So I won't go in details. And then he gave the second verse this year, John chapter 9, verse 6 and 7, saying that after seeing these things, he spit on the ground, made mud with the saliva, and then he anointed the man's eyes with mud and said to him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which means sent. And so he went. He was sent, and so he went. We were sent, and we went, and we came back seeing. Bosim asked me before we left for Brisbane, what is your plan? I said, honestly, totally honestly, I have no plans. Edward has no plans because God has not revealed any plan. And I almost want to back out because I have not known of his plan. And then God gave us this verse. So I told Bosim, can you let me go? And then I'll come back. I'm confident when I come back, I will know what we are supposed to do. And God is a God of promise. Because he gave John 9, 6, 7. So we were sent. We were washed in his presence. And we came home seeing. We know what to do. We told you. And that's all that we know what to do, we have told you. Some people say, I do not know. Actually, what do you want to do in Logan? As much as we know what to do, we have told you. That's all we know. One step at a time. And God doesn't reveal his plan A to Z. He give you A, you better walk in an A. Unless you walk in an A, he won't give you the B. And so you keep walking and he'll keep shining the light. And so people in Australia ask us what? I said, this is the what for now. Then the next trip we come back, we'll tell you. February onwards, we'll update you. Up till now, we tell you until February. And so during the last week, I called a team to fast and pray with me. And during that time, the Lord gave me three more direction. That is, it's cool. It's very easy to remember. The Gospels in Acts chapter 9, verse 6. Sometimes with 7, 8, and 9. So, Matthew 9, verse 6 to 9. But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. He then said to the paralytic, rise, pick up your bed, and go home. And he rose and went home. When the crowd saw it, they were afraid, and they glorified God. And they glorified God. And they glorified God, who had given such authority to men. As Jesus passed on from there, given such authority to men. Are you the human race that belongs to God? Then you have the authority. As Jesus passed on from there, he saw a man called Matthew sitting at the tax booth, and he said to him, follow me. And he rose and followed him. And so I said, God, what is it about the scripture for Logan, for Penang? That we, as the disciples of Christ, as we follow him and go around together hand in hand with our Lord Jesus Christ, because we have to take him along. We cannot go alone. We got to be taking Jesus with us. The Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sin. But he said also that that authority has been given to men. And so if we are followers of Jesus Christ, faithfully, fervently, we have been given the authority. Would you turn to your neighbor and say it with seriousness that you have been given the authority? Pick your fight, okay? Not authority to simply fight. I love what Andrew posted up recently about fear. And then he said we need not fear something. I cannot remember word. Every word of it, but he says we need to fight. True, I really like that, because we're warriors, we need to fight. But I told him, we need to pick our fight. If it's not our fight, don't fight. But if it's our fight, then we fight. Fight a good fight. And so, when Jesus went round, what was he doing? He was calling people to come, follow me. And that is our job in Logan, in Penang. We are to go out with that authority given to us to do miracles, to pray for people with authority, and then say, follow me. Follow Jesus. Follow me basically means follow Jesus, okay? Follow me because I'm following Jesus. And when we follow Jesus, we always have direction. Now, the first scripture that the Lord gave us last year to go to Logan, Acts chapter 9, verse 6. When Saul was struck blind on the road to Damascus, and all he could hear was direction from Jesus to say that, go or enter into the city, and then I will tell you what to do. And so at the airport, when our friend dropped us off and said, keep us updated of Logan Project, and say, we will. And then suddenly at that point, I feel like, I don't know whether I want to come back or not, you know. And then so I look at Edward, I look at our friends and says, the blind lead the blind, you know. Because sometimes I really, like, I don't know what to do. Then he said, let's do this. Sometimes he doesn't know what to do. And then he heard from God, okay, let's do this. So I was telling our friend and laughing. I said, the blind leads the blind. And then my friend say, but the blind can hear. Amen. And so at the airport, before I pick up my luggage, when he said that, it's just like, hello, Acts chapter 9, verse 6. He was blind, but he heard the voice of God. He heard the voice of God. He heard the direction, and he obeyed. He did not say, I'm blind, so even though I hear, I can't see, I'm blind. I'm just going to sit here. He heard, and he obeyed. And so that was such a revelation for me at the airport when my friends say, you may be blind, but you can hear. And so we need to open our spiritual ears. But when we hear, we must obey. Because if we don't obey, then you don't have to ask for another direction from God. Because you have not obeyed, God will not give another direction. And so next, what we're supposed to do with that authority, we say, come, follow me, follow Jesus. And next would be Mark chapter 9, verse 6 to 8. For he did not know what to do, for they were terrified. And a cloud overshadowed them, and a voice came out of the cloud. This is my beloved son, listen to him. And suddenly looking around, they no longer saw anyone with them, but Jesus only. And so I said, God, what about this verse for Logan? And then it dawned upon me that when we go and do what God has asked us to do, to preach the gospel, to pray for the people, to go out and not just sit in, but to go out. People are going to see no one else but Jesus only. They are not going to see anyone with them but Jesus only. Because that place is like an open heaven, all right? And a voice came out and people heard the beloved Son of God. And I'm excited because I know that the people of Logan, Ken was saying that his friends from Brisbane say, if you are from Logan, people call you Bogan. Now you understand? And so we are to bring Jesus into Logan. We are to bring Jesus into the city. We are to bring Jesus into our city. And then when they encounter him, they know that it is him and not us. I was talking to this so-called long-lost friend yesterday. And he was just talking about Jesus, Jesus, Jesus all the time. And now he's telling people, his friends, about Jesus. And they say, are you sure your Jesus is so real? Are you sure God is so real? God did all these miracles for you. Are you sure? Then he says, don't worry, your time will come when you will know that it is real. And one thing he said that reminded me, don't look at another one who has yet to know Christ as there's a segregation. And so he actually calls him brother. He said, you are also my brother. You have not known my father yet right now, but my father knows you because my father owns you. And so you are my brother, even though you have not received Christ. He says, now I look at everyone, even though they do not know Jesus Christ, they are my brother and they are my sister because one day they will know him. One day they will come back. And so he says, people ask him, hey, what is this sign you're putting up about, you know, Jesus, cross, suddenly you become Christian. He's like, what's wrong? I may. His friends ask him, I may. To me, solo I. He's like, one man, Jesus, what you want? Then he says, it's not whether I want or don't want. I have come home. I've come home to my father. And he says, one day you will come home too. And I want us to believe that people around us who has yet to know Jesus, that they will come home too. And we're going to pray through. We're going to pray through for their homecoming. If you don't pray for those people, you don't earn a right to talk to those people about Jesus' love. But when you pray for the people, eventually they will hear you. When you pray for the land and you speak into the land will affect you. This is what Pastor Subi said. And I believe so. Because we are called to have dominion over the land. At least the man. Which will rise up in prayer, man of God. Man of God. Who says, I'm a man of God? I don't have. I have one on my. If I'm a man of God, I have to be a man of prayer. Prayer does not belong to aunties. You better rise up in prayer. Prayer does not belong to people who have nothing else to do but pray. Some people say, okay, la, I'll pray. You've got to be confident that when you pray, something will happen. Amen? And when you are not going to be committed to pray for people, don't fall into that category of all this spiritual jargon that say, okay, I'll pray for you. If you say, I'll pray for you, you better pray for the person. Or else don't say, I'll pray for you. And the last verse from the book of Mark 9:6. And they departed and went through the villages, preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. And so when I read this, I was just, whoa, God, I'm going to go through division by division, like Joshua said. You are not going to finish listening to Joshua chapter 1 or the book of Joshua, because the book of Joshua is the mandate given to the church here, GCC. And so every season, you'll be hearing that as reminders of who we are, what we are made of, and what we are called to do. Are you with me? So don't get sick of the book of Joshua. The book of Joshua is a dangerous book. Dangerous book. But very, very exciting. And so they were supposed to conquer division by division. And here, the Lord sized it down and says they went through the villages. So in order to go through the villages, you got to go through one by one, right? And so in thinking of Logan, or thinking of the divisions in the Logan that we have to go through, the nations in the Logan that we have to go through, preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. And when that takes place, God is glorified. And that is what we are called to do as a church. The ministry in Logan, the ministry in Penang, the ministry in every city that God is going to give to us. Amen. One of the promises given to the church is Psalm 2:8. That the inheritance given to us as sons of God is the nations. And when I pray, in my prayer time, I see cities. I see God directing us to cities to plant churches. Not something I want. Because it's beyond my comfort zone. I like to be in nice little cozy little Penang. But I have to cross my comfort zone with the prayers that we pray. We got to act and go and partner with God in a project that God has given to us. My friend who just migrated actually said, why don't you come and build GCC in Sydney? I said, no, God didn't ask me to go to Sydney yet. Good thing I didn't, because he said he has visited us before for a while and he really likes GCC. He says, why don't you build? Say, no, God didn't ask me to go to Sydney. And that's before Brisbane came about. Good thing I didn't go. I should have told him soon. I'm going to tell him, because he went to Adelaide now. So if I build there, also he won't come. So I believe that God is calling us, stirring us to go and conquer cities. Are you excited? Hello, hello. Are you excited? Yes. One thing I like about the youth leadership team, because I'm directly in their youth chat, so all their crap, I know. But, of course, there are good stuff there too. And I'm very encouraged many times by their transparency with one another. And that's what we need in the church and in the leadership team. You cannot be transparent. You cannot be crappy with one another and still love one another. And then, you know, when you confront one another and still love one another, we cannot move on. But one thing, one strength of the youth leaders, I want to encourage you and commend you, is your transparency with one another, because you're going to go far. You warriors, you're going to go far. I was so tremendously encouraged. They are coming together this time praying for Divergent Camp in my home. And I was away in Brisbane. And I have a little bird here telling me, "Oh, the youth leaders are having a cry fest." I'm like, okay, cry fest. They're pouring their heart out to one another and they're crying their heart out to God. That makes a good team. And so today, I want to especially pray for the youth leaders as you prepare for your Divergent Camp, that you will not be discouraged in this time, no matter who respond to you or not respond to you. You just have to keep doing what God has asked you to do. Yes? And if you don't reach the target, now that's a target you set, but if you don't reach a target, do not be disappointed, because now the enemy loves disappointment, because you're disappointed when you're disheartened, when you're discouraged, when you go into that state, you go into despair. And when you go into despair, you sit in the dumps. And then the enemy clap hands, because they love to get Christians discouraged, disappointed, and dumb. Then right there, they cannot move anymore. And so we have to be resilient. We must bounce back. We must recoil. We must stretch out. We must keep going. Amen? We have to be flexible. We have to be supple. We have to be pliable. And that's why you need to come for the dance workshop. I'm still promoting. Jen will be happy. She's not here. I'm not even doing the workshop. And so with that, I want us to claim and speak and decree with authority these scriptures that God has released to us, the direction for Logan and the cities that we are to conquer, including Penang. That is very easy to remember. Go back and read chapter 9, verse 6. Sometimes you have to go 6, 7, 8. But it starts with 6, all the book of the gospel plus X. Easy? If the keywords you want, just remember the first one, God say, arise, enter the city. You cannot sit down and enter the city. You need to act. You need to arise, right? You need to arise before you move. And that's why in a Bible account, every time God wants the people to move from one place to another place, he will say, arise and go. Arise and go. Because you can't go that if you don't arise. So the first thing, we need to arise. Then we will know what to do. So what to do is God's responsibility. He will tell us what to do. Our responsibility is to arise and move. Secondly, again, the key word in John 9, he says go or being sent and came back soon. Unless we go where God asks us to go, we will not understand what he wants us to do. If we want direction and God says go, even though we don't know what is it, we need to go. Then only we understand. You know, sometimes it's very difficult to give a long instruction to a small kid if you want them to do something. And we are many times like kids to God. If God is starting to give us a long description of what we need to do, we cannot handle at that point or remember every single thing. And so when I want to ask Ashton or Krista to do something, and I find it very difficult to release that whole instruction in one long passage, because they, by the time they move there, they say, "Mom, what do you ask me to do?" Saihaya, you know, not means waste energy and breath. So I say, "Go to the kitchen, then I'll tell you what to do." But a lot of times they say, "You tell me what to do, lah, then I go." Are you all like that? Then the parents say, "You go, then I tell you." Then they say, "No, you tell me." But you tell them that by the time they move there, then they'll be screaming. And then from the kitchen, sometimes I'm upstairs, and I cannot hear them what they're screaming, you know. So I say, "You go." And when they let go, then I say, "Okay. In the kitchen cupboard on your left, when you open, on the first shelf on your right, move right in and reach out for that blue cup for me." Now, this is just an analogy, okay? Do I have a blue cup at home? I used to. Then their specific direction when they reach that position, they will know exactly because they have seen. Are you with me? So when God say go, we go. The direction will come when we go. And then you say, But to go needs money leh. I know. So what do? We fast, we pray, we wait. The key words after that is God is glorified, authority given to man, follow me. Next passage from Mark, keyword would be, a voice came out of the cloud, listen to him, Jesus only. Luke 9:6, keyword, went through villages, preaching the gospel, healing everywhere. Amen. Simple, right? Today's message, so simple. And it ties in with the urgency that we need to have as a church. With that urgency, don't say, I'm urgent. You got to need something about it. You got to do your work. You got to do your homework. You got to be thorough. You got to be diligent. And then you don't just sit there. Then you step into your position in your army. Thank you for reminding. We talk about a lot about rousing the warriors. Some of warriors have left. They are still warriors, just warriors in different parts of the world. But we need a new batch of warriors to arise. And we need God's strength to be resilient, because we cannot be resilient by our own strength. To preach not knowing what exactly. I always get myself into trouble. And so before I chicken out or my fire die down, I quickly text Edward. I say, do you have a word for tomorrow? If not, I'll take the pulpit. I say, I'm having a fire. Totally. Seriously. Then by the night come, drive me home, very tired. I'm like, what did I do, God? That was a silly act, I said, because I'm feeling tired. I don't really have a word for the church. I felt like I have a word, but now I'm so sure. But I think this is. But what do you think, God? Should I go back, tell Edward, can you take the pulpit tomorrow? And I went back. He was asleep. So when I saw him asleep, I said, God, I got to keep to what I say. Because I knew God wanted me to say something. And say, I'll do it, but I'll go to sleep. And when I got up, I was still not so well. I wasn't well. And I try to get well before I come. I do all it takes to get well to come. And I was just telling myself, what did I get myself into it? Because if I didn't say, I don't have to worry, you know. But sometimes when God gives us all the time, when God says do it, we better do it and we be accountable. So that was my accountability. Before I step out and say, God, I don't want to do it, I quickly text my husband and say, I'll do it. Because I said I'll do it, he won't do it already. Won't. So when God asks you to do something, you got to get someone accountable and say, hey, this is what I'm going to do. And so if you don't do, your accountability partner will come after you. Yep. Easy to remember. Now today, as I close, I want us to think how we can partner with God with what you have. Now would you open up your hands? Worship team, would you come? Would you open up your hands and would you show it to the Lord and ask God to show you what has God given to you as a child of God? Your gifts, your talent, your work, your family, your finance, your temperament, your personality. What is it that God has given you? Perhaps a burden. And what do I do with what is placed in my hand? In the book of Judges, it is said that the Lord bless and establish the work that's put in Deborah's hand. And I want us to look at our hands and say, God, would you establish and bless the work of my hands? That when I leave this earth, I know that I have done well. Done well means not perfection, but done well means with all that you have, with all that you can, crossing every comfort zone, giving your time in prayer, in seeking God. And I want us to start in a place of prayer. Because before we can seek God, we cannot know His direction. Before we can seek God, we don't have the strength to go and do what it needs to be done or what it takes to be done. And so I want us to just be very serious, to make a commitment to rise up in prayer in this season, whether in a personal prayer or in a corporate prayer as a church, which is say, God, help me. I know many times we're willing, but we're weak. Help me, Lord, to rise up in prayer. No more excuse to say that I'm not a man of prayer. Prayer is not my thing. You cannot say that, because prayer is talking to God. And if talking to God is not your thing, then what makes a Christian? How can you have a relationship with Christ without talking to Him? I was talking to one leader just recently. I said, can you encourage someone? I mean, not encourage someone. Can you encourage the people you lead in your CG, in your ministry, to be in prayer? To be proactive, whether it's church prayer or whether it's territorial prayer when churches call for a prayer meeting. And his leader said to me, it's hard. My people say, prayer is not my thing. My heart sank because this group of people I know, they are mature Christian. I say, how can you tell me prayer is not your thing? Because prayer is communication with God. Prayer is seeking God. If prayer is not your thing, what is your thing? What is your thing if prayer is not your thing? And so yesterday at a conference, there was a call for repentance because the Church of Penang lacked prayer because of the spirit of prayerlessness in the church. And when enter into that repentance, I didn't know that I was going to have so much tears. My heart was so painful because that is the state of the Church of Penang, that we are prayerlessness. And if we are calling for revival, believing for revival, talking about revival, asking for revival, then we must be found in a place of prayer together with the other saints. So I don't want to hear anybody say, I'm not a man or a woman of prayer. Because you just self-declared yourself to be sold out for your downfall. Because when you say that, the enemy rejoices. We should be people who wake up in the morning and the enemy becomes afraid. Because we are here to conquer the day with the Lord. But when we are prayerlessness, the enemy loves it. And you're preparing for your downfall. I'm not saying that I have reached. I have repented this year that I've slacked because I say, God, help me. Help me to reach 4 hours of prayer every day. And last year, I was peaking. And some days I hit my 4 hours. But I'm not saying that you have to clock in, but that is a gauge of your spiritual growth, you see. If you don't set a target, then we just cruise by the year. So my target last year was 4 hours, 2 hours in the morning, 2 hours at night, but if possible, a stretch of 4 hours. And I was doing okay for a while, and then I began to slack. And came this year, I slacked. And I told God, I don't know what happened to my 4 hours. And I don't like where I am. But I don't feel condemned because I know that we're weak and we need God. I don't condemn myself, but I just recognize that in that limitation, I need God. Can I ask for 1 hour? Because looking at all your faces, you're not new Christians. If you're a new Christian, I say 15 minutes, then half an hour, then 45 minutes. By looking at all of you, you're not new Christian. 1 hour. If you cannot push through 1 hour, break it up half an hour, half an hour. Is it very hard? If not, you guys eat all the time. 15 minutes before you eat. Not that hard, right? I tell you a secret, not a secret, okay? I was wondering how Ashton pray and fast. I said, you've been fasting. Have you been praying? He said, yes. I said, when? Every time I'm hungry, Mom, I'll pray. So, if you cannot remember when to pray, would you pray when you feel hungry? Because you guys eat all the time. Like, eat a lot. If you cannot remember, would you pray when you are hungry? Before you eat, you pray first. Stand and lift up your hands to Jesus and ask God to speak to you what He has put on your hands, that you can use it to glorify Him. Lord, would you look at our hands, Lord? Father, we ask for your forgiveness today for the lack of prayer, for the lack of zeal in our prayer life. Father, we need you. We need you to spur us on. We need you to give us the discipline and the strength to seek you every day, God. Thank you, God, because you're an amazing God. You're a God who enable and empower. And even as you put those things, those gifts in our hands, Lord, we want to say that we will seek you in prayer this season so diligently. Because God, we know that, Lord, we are living in an urgent time, and cause that urgency to arise in us, O Father. Arise in us, O Lord. Kurabasha karabashanta karyanda. Shikaraba karabashanta rabashada. Father, we thank you that you call us to be militant. And Father, we are going to pray fiery prayer in the coming season, because we are warriors in the mighty God. Thank you, God, because you give us strength. Strength to be resilient for our time, God. Strength to be resilient.
Father, we thank you for the working of your Holy Spirit in our midst. And we ask, oh God, that when we walk away from this place, Father, we will walk with our heads high, because you are at work in our midst. You are taking us to the next level. You are taking us, Lord, to a deeper relationship with you. You are working your work in our lives. And so, Father, we are submitted to that. And we pray, oh God, that we would hear your voice with such clarity. We are excited, oh God, because of what you are doing. And Father, may our eyes be totally focused on you. Fixed on you, Jesus, author, perfecter of our faith. We want to fix our eyes on you. We want to celebrate your grace upon our lives. We want to celebrate your goodness upon our lives. Thank you, God. Thank you for your love for each one of us. Father, we release blessing. We release, oh God, open doors. We release healing. We release provision. We release, oh God, your presence upon us. We give you thanks. In Jesus' name, all God's people say, amen.